We could be within, what, 48 hours, give or take, 24, 48 hours of a lockout in Major League Baseball, work stoppage, whichever way you want to define it. So the money's flying around before, you know, the clock strikes midnight, and the Jays have been the forefront of a lot of this, but huge money being splashed around. Max Scherzer getting paid, Marcus Semien getting paid, Robbie Ray goes to Seattle, Kevin Gausman comes to Toronto. And to chat about it, we're joined now by our TSN Blue Jays and MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. Steve, let's begin with where the Jays stand here, specifically with the rotation. They signed Kevin Gausman to a five-year deal at $110 million total. He comes in effectively replacing Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray signing in Seattle for 5 years at $115 million. What do you make of the change of complexion of the rotation, Gausman in, Ray out? How do you feel about the Jays today compared to where they were yesterday?
Yeah, it's really close. I have Kevin Gausman and Robbie Ray in the very similar ballpark. I had Ray slotted ahead just barely, but I like both of them. I thought the price, the number would come in pretty close. I'm a little surprised that just $1 million a year is what separated the Jays from Ray, but from what I understand and reaching out making some calls, that I think what ended up happening was Robbie Ray's camp tried to play it like they had more from somewhere to try to get the Jays to chase it. And the Jays looked at it and said, we may not go to where he wants to go, and we don't want to lose out on plan B because plan B is really close to plan A, and that's Gausman. Let's go ahead and get him because what the worst case scenario would be, Ray goes elsewhere, gets a number that they can't chase, and then they lose out on Gausman. And so, you know, I from every source I've talked to, they offered Ray a five at 110, and it sounded like from his camp that there was more coming, and they thought, you know what, we're not going to chase too much more when we like the other guy just about as much. And so they're pretty similar guys in many ways, and just the path of their careers. They both showed flashes early, had some struggles. For Gausman, he really scrapped the two-seam fastball and went to the four-seamer, added velocity. He's throwing 97, 96, 97, 98 up in the zone. And then he throws the split, which is the single most swing and missed at pitch this year. He had 272 swings and misses on his split this year. The next closest pitch that a pitcher got swings and misses was at 240. So he was by far the most significant swing and miss pitch of any pitcher in baseball with his split finger fastball. And he's going to be an effective pitcher. I like him. He's a competitive guy. He's got some athleticism to it. And so, look, he's right-handed. You know, you don't have the same balance with a left-hander in the rotation. But I think that they're pretty darn close to being the same with the pitching staff if they had signed Robbie Ray.
So, Steve, just let me help me understand this a little bit better, because I'm somewhat irritated that it's Ray, or it's not Ray, and it's Gausman. So he tried to bluff them and say that there was an offer that really wasn't there, and that the Jays wouldn't have gone back and said, look, this is our final offer. They just said, screw this, we're going to plan B, and we're getting Gausman. Because I look at this, and you could probably understand it from a casual fan's perspective. You're like, if they're both the same, why not the guy that was here that just won?
Yeah.
The Cy Young. Why isn't it Robbie Ray? And I find that kind of irritating.
Yeah, so I don't know the exact back and forth of the negotiations. What I do know is there was a sense that Ray may have overplayed his hand and chased him away. And right now, we see the clock ticking. The other thing that there seemed to be an indication of is that Robbie Ray was going to wait this out, that he wasn't going to sign before December 1st. He had not even visited the Angels yet, and so there was the thought that he was going to be the guy to slow play it and wait until after. And then what ended? And so the Jays were in a position, do we wait out Robbie Ray for him to go through all of his due diligence with the Angels and everything, not get a guy signed before December 1st, and then lose out on Ray and Gausman signed somewhere else? And so I think that was the other part in this, is that once the thought of it was that Ray's camp was going to wait, and they were not rushing to get a deal done by December 1st like everybody else seems to be doing. He had not visited the Angels, and I think in that indication, the idea that they were going to wait and lose out on Ray and then not have Gausman available, and they struck where they needed to. And so I think the other indication was from the Jays, from Rays camp, was that he was slow playing it. And at that point, I don't blame the Jays for pulling the trigger the way that they did.
That's smart business.
That's exactly the way I was looking at it yesterday and today, thinking it over. Like, if I'm management, you got to have one of these guys. You got to. And even if it's a poker game, Steve, you know this. You lived it, man. You know what it's like. You can think you've got the information, but maybe you're being played. And the fact is, if Ray was going to sign in Seattle, Gosman re-signs in San Fran, and the Jays are sitting there with nothing, all of a sudden you got to go up there and probably acquire some big fish via trade and give up some of your capital within the organization. So I like the way they played it. Would I have preferred Ray? Sure. But Gosman's nothing to sneeze at. I think he steps in here and solidifies their rotation 1 through 4. And now they focus on the back end of the rotation, which I believe will be their priority moving forward. But they've also got other holes in the lineup based on what else happened over the course of the weekend. Marcus Semien signs a 7-year, $175 million deal in Texas. And I'm just seeing Jeff Passan reporting breaking news. Corey Seager has signed in Texas. 10 years, $325 million.
Jesus.
10 years, $325 million. So what it immediately makes me think is Simeon's playing second base in Texas.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen there.
So what was that all about?
Well, I think that they signed Semien with the conversation. Remember, they have Isaiah Kanafalefa, who's a really good defender at shortstop. He won the Gold Glove at third base the year before. It was second in Gold Glove to Chapman, but a really solid defender. And so I think they looked at it and said, if we get Semien, we can play him at short if we want. If we get Seager, we'll move Semien to second. And look, when someone's paying you $175 million and they tell you to stand on your head in the corner, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, I'll go do that. I mean, and so, this is a bold, $32.5 million a year for 10 years. I would not give Corey Seager a 10-year deal. He's got back issues. I love him. I think he's a great player. But they, in order to get him, they went above and beyond in the number of years. And so I'm a little surprised they went that high, both in dollars and in years. And here's the thing. They're not going to win this year. They're still a third-place team in the American League West, maybe a fourth-place team. They have John Gray at the front of the rotation, and that's it. So they're spending a lot of money, but they've got a lot more to spend if they're going to be competitive. And it's going to have to come to pitching, and a lot of the better pitchers are off the board right now. So it's a bold contract, man. And here's the thing. So can somebody tell me what's wrong with the system on the player side? Like, they're the ones
who
have complaints about the system. Like, Jesus. The owners aren't saying, well, we got to change this, we have to change that, we have to change that. The players are. And I keep wondering, like, where's the problem here? Like, can somebody identify for me where there's a problem? We are going to shatter the record this winter in signings for free agent players. We're going to $2.1 billion was the number from 2019 to 2020. We're going to shatter that this year. And, you're seeing old players get money, young players get money, middle-aged players. I mean, in baseball age, it doesn't matter. Pitchers, position players, they're all getting the money. It's amazing to me that anybody would think there's a problem with the system that they're currently being employed under.
The Rangers just handed out $500 million in 24 hours. 500 sheets. That's the Rangers. Yeah. That's not the Yankees. Well, that's not the Dodgers.
And more than that. Now you throw in Gray and you throw in Cole Calhoun.
Right. I was thinking just Semien and Seager, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, $560 million in a weekend. That's a good weekend.
Pretty good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Steve, hearing these stories about the contracts, and it bugs me because you just think of, and I go back to Robbie Ray, where it was a good fit. He seemed like a good guy. If it would, like, to make more sense of it, would you eliminate the agent and just sit down with the general manager and the player and just say, look, does this make sense to you? Like, it just seems like there's somebody gets involved to make it greasy. Like, when I hear these stories, Robbie Ray doesn't seem like the guy that would be greasy and be like, let's try to get $10 million more out of this. I just wonder how the hell it happens. What happens? Does the agents get involved and then the greed just seeps into it, or what happens?
Yeah, you know, they come up with strategy and then tactics within the negotiation. I think the notion of waiting it out and playing it out a little bit until all the other pitchers are off the board and then we could be the only game in town, I get why there's some level of that that's attractive. But when everybody else is signing now and a lot of the money that's available is being spent, you can be available after the deal's collective bargaining agreement's done, but what money's left at that point if everybody's spending it now? And so I think there was a pivot there for them to sign after the Gosman deal. They realized they better try to get a deal now, and it was too late for them. And you can't go around the agent. You cannot cut the agent out of it. You're not allowed to do it. It's a violation. You have to negotiate with the agent. You can say, you know, I'd like to get together with you and the player to have a conversation, because I will tell you that I always worried that my message, really, you might, like, you know, we relay our message, and, you know, we do that game where I'll tell, you know, you something, then you tell the next guy, we'll try to figure out what was said at the end, and it's completely different. And so having a third person sending my message to the player and explaining my position, I always worry about that, right? That the tone and tenor is not going to be the way I meant it to be, but it's the unfortunate nature of the system. And look, you know, and I've accepted, look, agents, they're just doing their job, you know, but remember, the other thing for the state of Seattle, the state of Washington has no state income tax. So there is some benefit to pitching, you know, for the Mariners beyond the money that he got, that it's really worth more otherwise. But I think that their strategy and tactics on the Rays camp side of it really cost him. He doesn't want to be in Seattle. There's no way he wants to be there. He'd rather be, I think he'd rather be in Toronto. I wondered, did he just not want to go north of the border? That wasn't it. I think they misplayed it, and it ended up that he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, Robbie Ray going to Seattle on a 5-year deal at $115 million. Kevin Gausman here in Toronto, 5 years at $110 million. Marcus Semien going to Texas, 7 years at $175 million. Corey Seager leaving the Dodgers, going to Texas. This just came in, breaking news, 10 years, $325 million. Man, it's Verlander back to Houston. The AL West is just like living in a different stratosphere in terms of finances right now. But there's still big names out there, and there's still some holes to be filled here with the Jays. So next time we get you on, we'll break all that down, and chances are we'll be mid-lockout or stoppage in play or work stoppage, whatever you want to call it, Steve. So we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
All right, you got it. My pleasure, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. So with Semien leaving, it opens up a hole at second base. Maybe Kevin Biggio returns to that position, opens up a position at third. But I think the Jays, you know, in terms of their 1-4 in the rotation, they're very strong. I think they can put that up against any team in the AL East. And now you go Springer into Bichette into Vladdy into Teoscar, 1-4 in the lineup, you're fine. You know, you're still going to have power. You're going to produce runs. You still got Gurriel, whoever you're playing a catcher every day. You're going to have, I guess, Grichuk maybe and Wright. We'll see what happens there. But Biggio, if he stays healthy, I think can still be a player for them. They're a really good team, and they're in a win-now mode.
I don't think you would have thought we would be saying about their starting rotation going into next year, Hayes, that our boy on I-95 would be one of the question marks of it.
Yeah, Hyunjin Ryu, as of now, is probably their third or fourth starter, depending on Alek Manoah coming out.
Depending on how he looks, like, who knows if he's going to be a gas can. He was terrible coming down the stretch.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You've got Berríos locked in for 7 years. You've got Gausman for 5, and you got Manoah under team control for, I believe, another 5 or 6. So those three, you know what you've got. And Hyunjin Ryu's got 2 more years on his deal. They're not going to want any more than that anyway. You know, with all due respect, you try to get everything you can out of them the final 2 years, and then you're probably going to turn that leaf over. But, you know, we'll see. The Jays, they're in the game. They're splashing money around, and there's still a lot more to be had throughout baseball. Yeah. So we'll get more into this a little bit later this afternoon.